Rewards, part one. And this is going to be fun. I don't know how far we'll get today, but I think, this is going to be a 3 to 4 part study, which, you know, in our class could be an 8-week thing for all we know, because just according to how long it goes. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. That's just where we're going to start. We're going to begin this brief study of the subject of rewards. Now, when you think about rewards, I want you to realize that they're often overlooked and misunderstood. In fact, I talked to somebody today right before the class, and that they had talked to someone who said, I have never heard anywhere in the Bible that there are going to be rewards or degrees of rewards or things like that. And so they are misunderstood. Sometimes they're overlooked, and people just don't understand exactly what they are. So often when we think about our relationship with Jesus Christ, we really only think about our eternal life salvation aspect. We trust Christ as Savior. He died and rose again. We trust in Him. We're saved, and we're saved forever. And be real clear about that salvation is a gift. It's not our works. It's not our goodness. It's simply faith in Christ. Sometimes we really forget about serving Christ and living for Him. And what does that mean? You know, why? Well, this morning, we're going to take a look at our Christian life, and we're going to take a look at the aspect of glorifying God through our lives and thinking about rewards. And we realize that rewards are significant. Why? Because rewards are eternal. Now you may go, what? What are you talking about? You're going to be rewarded, and the rewards for your service, for serving Jesus Christ, and the rewards that you get will go on for all time. It's eternal, your service and rewards for Christ. How we live now and the rewards that we gain are eternal. Now, it does make a difference how we live now. Not for our salvation, not for our eternal life salvation, but it does make a difference on how we live and how we serve and how we get rewards. See, salvation is by grace we're saved through faith, not of ourselves, but our rewards, that's on what we do. We want to be excited as we look at all this, and what we want to hear is our Savior say, well done, good and faithful. Because those words, well done, good and faithful, and then there's another word, what is it? Servant. We'll talk about it, because you're going to have to be a servant if you're going to get rewarded. We'll see how it fits together. Let's start with a prayer, and then we'll go from there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great day. Thanks for this class. Thanks for each one that's here. I just love this. I love starting a new study, too, Lord. It's so fun to look at something like rewards. And let's help us, Lord, as we look through your word, to think about these issues so that we can put it together, that as a believer that we can be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us, so that we can continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, so that we can be grounded, no longer tossed back and forth by every wind of doctrine, but being strong and grounded and knowing what your word has to say and living by faith. So we can do all of that, and that's why we study, Lord. So we just ask you on this subject, the subject of rewards, that we would understand what you say in the Bible, how it all fits together, and we understand what it would be like when we stand before you. And so, Lord, we're really excited. Teach us, Lord, as we study this. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you know, I had written down that I was confused on a number of things. I was confused just about on everything. But anyway, especially when it dealt with the Bible, I had gone to church once when I was 6 and once when I was 12. And then I think maybe we might have gone back one or two other times while I was like 12 or 13, and that's all. And I went off to college, and when I was in college, I trusted Christ as my Savior. Before my salvation, I had this idea that all people, that would be this long line, that God was like sitting on this huge throne, and that everybody was lined up just as far as you could see, and you're in line, and you're standing there, and in one of these days, one of these times, it's your turn to stand before Him. And He's got a big scale there somehow, and this is all decided on whether you go into hell or heaven, and He looks at it, and He basically says, if you did more good than bad, you're going to heaven. If you did more bad than good, you're going to hell. And I thought that. And so I always tried to do good. And so I had this idea that everybody would stand before God to be judged for whether they're good or bad, and then they either go to hell or heaven. Well, I was wrong, of course, about that, because salvation is not based on our goodness or righteousness or how good we live or how bad we live. It's based on a gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not a worthless anybody could ever boast. You can't boast that way. And so we're saved by faith, not works. And so there's good news. But there is a truth that people will stand before Jesus Christ. That those who do not know Christ as Savior will stand before, it's found in Revelation chapter 20, they stand before what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Maybe I had heard people talk about that, and people thought that That's where everybody stands before God, and then they go to hell or go to heaven. But at the great white throne judgment, this is unbelievers standing before Jesus Christ, and the books are open, and the books of life are open, and anyone's name not found in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. So that's not people being judged whether they're good or bad and go to hell or heaven. It's if their name's not found written in the book of life, which comes by faith. If you trust in Christ, your name's written in the book of life. All those who do not believe, they're cast in the lake of fire. So that's true. Now, there's a second thing. All believers will stand before Jesus Christ, not at the great white throne judgment, but at what we call the judgment seat of Christ. And the word judgment, and we're going to get into it in the lesson two or lesson three, the word judgment actually is B-E-M-A, which means the rewarding seat. You're going to stand before Jesus Christ as a believer, not for hell or heaven, but to judge you, to reward you for your service for Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's why it's called the judgment seat of Christ, or the bema seat of Christ, or the rewarding seat of Christ. And so when we think about that, we go, so every one of us in this room who know Christ, now, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. The books are going to be open. The book of life will be open. Your name won't be found written in the book of life, and you'll be cast in the lake of fire. Not because you're bad. Everybody's bad. Jesus Christ has paid for the sins of the whole world. He offers to every human being the gift of eternal life by faith. So a person who it does not go to heaven does not go to heaven because they're sinners. They go to heaven because they have not believed in Jesus Christ and received the gift of eternal life. That's that simple. But for us who know Christ, every one of us in this room who have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, you will stand before Him. So as I've got on your little handout here, rewards are significant because we're going to stand before Him. To the whole idea of getting rewards. We're not dealing with salvation. We're dealing with the Christian life. It's not the basis of eternal life. It's the basis of rewards. So questions will be raised. Think about this. Did we serve Jesus Christ when you stand before Him? Did we live for Him? Did we use our gifts, talents, and abilities for His glory? There will be an accounting. There's a place in Romans 14 where He says, as I live, so the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall give praise to God. Therefore, each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We're not talking account like all my sins. We're talking about your service. Where are your sins? On Christ. If you open the record book up, J.B. Bond, sins, none. This guy has no sin. Bob Barker. Oh, my gracious, alive. This guy has no sin. Jerry. Okay. No sin. Where are the sins? Where are sins? They're on Christ. Now, let me ask you something. Here's an unbeliever. What do we find? No sin. Oh, I better check that again. Are you sure? Yeah. Of course, where were the sins of every human being? He is the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Unbelievers don't go to hell because of their sins. They're separated from God because they don't have His righteousness and eternal life. And that comes how? By faith. That's the difference. Now, when we stand before Jesus Christ, it's not sin. Sins are not even on the, they're not on the book. It's our works. It's our service. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or he may just look at us and go, I'm having a little trouble finding anything here. Are you sure I got the right book? Is this volume one? What did you have? Anything else? Did you have anything else to offer? You know, we're trying to help you out here, son. I know. And as 1 John 2:28 says, we could be ashamed at His coming. So we're going to think about that as we go through this. So when we talk about standing before rewards, deal with our service for our Savior. And I got at the bottom of that page, how we live now makes a difference, not for our eternal salvation, but for our eternal rewards. If we've served Him, we'll be rewarded. If we haven't served Him, there won't be rewards. And we want to see how this fits together. Now, let me tell you some things that people say. They say things like this. If salvation is by faith, is it? Yes. And if salvation is for all time, that means when you believe in Jesus, you're saved and you're saved forever. Is that true? If that's true, and then they say this, then what difference does it make how we live if we're all going to heaven anyway and we're all going to be the same up there anyway? What difference does it make? Well, they got one thing wrong. Salvation is by faith, and salvation is forever, and everybody who believes in Jesus is going to heaven or going to be with him forever, but we all won't be the same. Because based on your service and the rewards he gives you, you're going to have different places of service, different places of responsibility. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, when we studied it on Wednesday night, there's a word called partnership. It's a Greek word that's pronounced metakoi, and it means partners with Christ. And it implies from some of the verses that there are believers who are partners with Christ, and there are believers who aren't partners with Christ. Now, talking about salvation, talking about closeness, partnership, almost a fellowship aspect. So the truth is, during all eternity, there are going to be some people, and I don't mean it bad, but there are going to be some people closer and serving in positions and partnership with Christ, and there'll be some who won't. So when somebody says, what difference does it make? It makes a difference on your eternal place of responsibility and service, not only in the kingdom, but for all eternity. So when we start talking about rewards, this is not something that you can just say, oh, it doesn't matter. I mean, who cares? Who cares about rewards? Jesus cared about them. And we should care about them. So let me give you the outline. If you turn to the next page, this is the outline for the study. And I've also got it. We can put it up on the Tron. But let me show you the things we're going to do in this study. And you know, this is a... I don't want to use the word evolving because some people don't like it, but this is an evolving study because as I continue to get more and more details on some of the stuff that I'm studying, I may come back and change the outline, maybe add to it, give you some more details. But at this stage, we're going to look, the introduction, this is where we're fixing to get into. Then we're going to see the contrast between salvation and discipleship. This is so vital. The problem is most people do not understand the difference between eternal life, salvation, and discipleship, which is Christian life. They blend it together, and there's a lot of problems when you do that. So we have to look at seeing that contrast. Then we're going to see the charge to get rewards. He's going to tell us, get rewards. Run the way, race so you can do what? Get the what? The prize. And then as we continue, we're going to talk about getting rewards. We're going to talk about where do you get the rewards and what's the basis for rewards. And then we're going to get in there and talk about what are rewards. What are these rewards? I mean, everybody says, well, they're crowns. Aren't they crowns? Because then the Bible say, you know, crowns. And in their place where we cast our crowns to him, and that place in Revelation. And so what are these rewards? Are they crowns? And what does it mean by a crown? You know, and so how does that fit? And then we'll come back with some applications. And so as I study, or as we study, I may even add to, change, move around this outline of the flow just to let you know. I may get more detail to it. So let's start with sort of our introduction at the next page, and let's talk about rewards and this idea. When you think about rewards, sometimes there's great misunderstanding. And you know, when people are confused about this, they're confused about a lot of things. I don't mean it bad, but, you know, there's some people that never even heard of rewards. They don't know what we're talking about. There are a number of views. Number one, the first view is some see that there are no rewards at all. In fact, here's what they say. Salvation is ultimately the reward. That's how they see it. There's a whole group of people that say, if you live a good life, if you keep the faith, if you persevere to the end, if you do all the right stuff, the reward is salvation. The reward is getting to be with Jesus. And so the only reward the Bible even talks about is the going to heaven reward. That's what some would say. Well, there's two aspects of this when you think about it. Number one is that they'd say this. Some people say, you trust Christ, but if you don't, if you live a life of sin, or if you do wrong, or you don't do good enough, you lose your salvation. You all know that there are people that you come in contact with every day who believe that you can trust Christ and be saved, but then if you don't live right, do the right things, keep doing the right, you're going to lose your salvation. And so salvation is the reward of living a good life. That's what it is. That's how they look at it. And every one of us in this room have talked to people, and you'd say, and they'd say, you could say something like, you think you're going to heaven? Well, I mean, you could lose yourself. Can you lose salvation? Of course you could lose your salvation. They think salvation is the reward. There's a second group that says you can trust in Jesus Christ, but you must persevere in the faith. You must keep doing good works. You must keep living right. And if you don't, it's not that you lose your salvation. You just were never saved to begin with. You just thought you were. There's a whole group of people that say, once you're saved, you really can't lose your salvation. But the truth is, you can't know whether you're saved or not. So you have to live good all the time. You have to keep doing good works. And that sort of proves you're saved, or the best you can. And so if for some reason you don't keep doing good works, or you don't do right, or you do sin, you don't lose salvation. You just never had it. You just thought you were saved. That's two groups. Two groups of people. People who believe you can lose salvation. People who believe that you never had salvation. You just thought you did. And both of those people think that salvation is the reward of living good. That's called works for salvation. And that's not good. That's not right. Okay? Right? Isn't salvation by what? By grace through faith. Not of yourselves. It's the what? Gift. It's not of works. But they think it is works. They think it is works. So there's a group that says there aren't any rewards. Okay? There's a second group. I think there's another one. That says they've just never even heard about getting rewards at all. I mean, they've had people, they've been to church, and usually these people go to churches where the Bible's not really taught. It may be talked about, but not necessarily taught. And if you actually got to them and said, what about rewards, and what about crowns, and what about this? They'd say, I've never really heard of that. In fact, what I really think is that it's selfish to think about being rewarded for serving Jesus. I mean, you're supposed to serve Jesus, and so it's selfish to try to earn rewards. That's what some people believe. It's selfish. We're pretty selfish to begin with all the time anyway, so, you know. But the bottom line is, he tells us to get rewards. He tells us to run the race so we get the what? The prize. It takes us to a third group, and there's a third group who say, we understand that we will be rewarded for faithful service. That when the Bible talks about losing something, it's never talking about losing salvation. It's really talking about losing rewards. When you study the Bible and it appears that you could fall away from something or you could lose something, if you study it carefully, you'll find that it's never talking about eternal life salvation. It's talking about rewards. Okay? So there is a third group, that's us, that think that we will be rewarded for faithful service. So some say no rewards at all, and that in the sense that salvation is the reward, and either you get it and lose it, or you never had it because you got to do what's good, and so you're rewarded by having salvation by living good. Some say, we just never even heard of them. We didn't know it, and we think it's selfish to try to get them anyway. And then there is the third group that's us that says, we understand we're going to be rewarded for faithful service. There will be a time at the judgment seat of Christ when we'll be rewarded based on the things that we've done in this body, these bodies. Now, as we study rewards, we're going to find that the Bible teaches, and that's where we go back to. We don't go back to what we heard all our lives or what somebody else told us. You have to go back to the Scripture, and we're going to find that the Scripture says that every believer will stand before Jesus Christ and be rewarded. And so we want to put that together. Now, as we start, let's look at first the contrast. The contrast between salvation and discipleship. Let's think about it for just a second. We have to understand that. Because salvation has to do with eternal life, and discipleship has to do with our Christian life. One of them has to do with the fact that you're saved and you're saved forever, and it's by grace through faith. The other has to do with how you live as a believer, and you cannot mix them up. So many make a mistake. Now let's talk about it for just a second. Salvation. Salvation deals with our eternal destiny. Having an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, people don't always understand. If I said to you, Jesus Christ is giving you the offer of eternal life. If you believe in him, he gives you eternal life. John 3:16, God so loved you that he sent his only begotten son, that if you believe in him, you'll not perish but have what? Everlasting life. Now, here's a question. How long is that everlasting life? It's forever. And if it ever ended, it would not be what? Everlasting life. So when a person says, yeah, you can have eternal life, but you could lose it, they're misunderstanding what you have. And here's the big question. When does eternal life begin? In other words, when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and he says, I give you eternal life, when do you get that? A lot of people say, well, you get that when you die. Is that true? When do you get eternal life? The moment you believe. John 6. Truly, truly, I say to you, here's my word and believes him who sent me has, present tense, eternal life, does not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. So the moment you believe, you have eternal life right then. So you can't lose it. When people say you could lose it, they're misunderstanding what the offer is. Okay? So salvation deals with our eternal destiny, have an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the key. Discipleship, I think I said. Discipleship deals with our Christian life. It deals with our fellowship and our service with our Savior. And they're two distinct things. You cannot mix them up. We'll talk about what happens when you mix them up. But let me think about something. Let's think about this. Salvation costs us what? Nothing. Now, salvation's cheap then, right? Salvation is real cheap. Is that right? What do I hear people saying? No. Salvation is very what? Expensive and costly. What did it cost God? His son. What did it cost Jesus? His life. So when people say to you that that's cheap, when you say you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing, and they say that's cheap grace, tell them, first of all, grace is always free and it's not cheap. Because God is son. It's free to us. There's a difference between cheap and free. So discipleship deals with our Christian life, and fellowship, salvation, deals with our eternal life. It cost us nothing. We're saved by grace through faith. It's the gift of eternal life. And let me tell you, if you can get this, now we talked about grace and we've gone over these things before. You got to get this. This will change your whole life. If you're not grasped this yet, sit down and start thinking through these issues. I'm saved by grace through faith plus nothing forever. My lifestyle, my goodness before, after, during has no bearing on my eternal destiny. I'm saved by Jesus. I'm not saved by my faithfulness. It has nothing to do with me. I'm taking a gift that's been offered to me. It's the grace of God. I don't deserve to go. Nobody deserves to go. The standard is perfection. I can't be perfect, but Jesus Christ took my place, paid for my sins, gives me his righteousness by faith. You got to grasp that. You got to get that. Because when you look at it, that's salvation. The contrast is discipleship, and discipleship cost us our lives. Salvation cost us absolutely nothing. Discipleship cost us our lives. We take up the cross. We die to ourselves. This deals with our service for Christ. It's not a gift. Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren. He's writing to who? Believers. He's not writing to unbelievers. I beseech you, brethren, believers, to offer your lives as a what? A living sacrifice. That's discipleship. It costs you your life. Salvation is absolutely free. Doesn't cost you a thing. Never has, never will. Discipleship costs you your life. Take up your lives. Take up your cross. So that's a key. Now, let me give you an illustration. You got a job. Some of you have a job. Anyway, you got a job and you're working. And at the end, you get paid at the end of the month. And at the end of the month, your boss comes out and says, I have a gift for you. What is that gift, he says? That's your what? Paycheck. But that's not a gift, is it? You didn't say, well, thank you so much. I just happened to show up and you gave me this present. No, you just worked the whole month for this. That is not a gift. You earned it. Salvation is a gift. If your boss came up to you and said, I want to give you $500 as a gift for no reason. I just choose to give that to you. That's a gift. When your boss comes to you and says, you worked all month long. You put in the hours. You did a great job. Here's what you earned. That's your paycheck. Salvation is a gift given to us freely. We did nothing for it. And don't do anything to keep it. Rewards. And discipleship is where we serve God and he says, you've done really good. I'm going to reward you for that. That's the difference. You've got to grasp that. We got to get it because so many people don't understand it. Service has no bearing on eternal life. It has the bearing on rewards. There's going to come a time he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. So let's get the charge. This is part three. And I know we only got about 5 or 6 minutes left. So I want you to see this. Let's see, are we up to? Yeah, here's... Yeah, the charge. Here's the charge. And you know what it is? Get rewards. He's telling every one of you in this room who know him, get rewards. Are we? Where are we? Aren't we the... Oh, did I skip that? Oh, good. Oh, yeah, I skipped something really good. Let's go back. Don't let me pass that one. No. What happened? I don't know. I don't know what happened. Okay. Now, you have to keep the two theological truths separate. The two theological truths are that salvation is a gift and cost you nothing, and discipleship, Christian life, is works that are you rewarded for. You have to keep the two truths separate. If not, number one, I think it's you'll have works for salvation. Number two, you can write them both down and we'll talk about them. There is no assurance of salvation. Now, Jerry Bowman, he's in our room, and he and I have talked about this tons of times, and he'll always just say this. He'll say, you know, JB, when people don't understand or they don't make the distinction between salvation and discipleship, they get everything confused. And it always results in works for salvation or no assurance of salvation. Now, if you think that you need to live a good life serving God in order to be saved, is that grace through faith or works? It's works. And so if you mix them up, salvation and discipleship, you'll always have works for salvation. And remember when I talked about earlier, that's groups that say, if you don't live good, you lose it. That's works for salvation. Others say, if you don't live good, you didn't have it. It still works for salvation, no matter how you say it. And so whenever you mix up these two theological truths of salvation and discipleship, you'll always have works for salvation. And do you know, I want to tell you this. There are a lot of people who understand exactly what we're saying, and they say, yes, I know what you're saying. I'm not confused. You must have works for salvation. You must do good. If you think there are people out there and they're just confused, no, they're not confused. They think you have to do good to go to heaven. They think it is works for salvation because they've mixed up salvation and discipleship. There are people you can talk with every day, people you work with, people you live close to, all of that stuff, that they actually believe that you must do good in order to be saved. And they've looked at verses like, you got to be willing to give your life in service for Jesus in order to be saved. No, you don't. That's discipleship. Don't mix it up. You got to be willing to take up your cross and die to self in order to be saved. No, you don't. That's discipleship. You've got to offer your life as a living sacrifice in order to be saved. No, you don't. And when they mix it up, they got works for salvation. There's a second aspect that is so true. There is no assurance of salvation. You know why? Because you got to work for salvation. When have you done it? When you got it done? How do you know when you've done enough good works to make sure you're saved? And of course, a lot of people teach that you have to persevere to the end, which means you have to keep doing good works all the way to the end of your life. And if you stop somewhere along the line, guess what? You never had it. So you can never have assurance of salvation. I would hope that if I said to you in this room, don't raise your hands to do this, but if I said, how many of you know for sure that you have eternal life? I would hope every one of you would say, yes, I have eternal life because I have believed in Jesus Christ. He's given me eternal life and I'm saved and saved forever. If you think it's works, you can't even raise your hand because you'd have to say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I've done enough works. I don't know if I'm going to keep on doing enough works. I don't know what's going to happen 10 years down the road. I don't know if I'm going to fall away from the faith. I don't know what's going to happen. So I can't even know if I'm saved. And then they go through life serving God out of fear rather than serving God out of love. See, every one of us in this room who know Christ and we have eternal life, we want to serve him. It's not to keep salvation. It's not to hang in there. It's because of what he's done, because we love him, because he loves us, and because of the grace of God shown in our lives, we say, boy, I mean, it's the least I can do is serve him after all he's done for me. It has nothing to do with my salvation. If you're in this room and you're serving God out of fear, breaks my heart. You need to understand, if you trust in Jesus, you're saved forever. And you don't have to serve him out of fear. You're saved forever. And you should know that you're saved forever. And then you start serving him out of love. So anytime you have this confusion between discipleship and salvation, there'll always be works for salvation, and there'll be no assurance of salvation. The question again goes back, well, if you got eternal life and it's forever, what difference does it make if you serve him or not? Well, it has to do with rewards. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now, the second bell hadn't rung yet, has it? So we probably got about a minute, okay? So let's look at number three, if I'm correct now in turning the page. Let's get to number three, which is the charge. And Here's what's so great about this. God wants you to have rewards. He wants to give you rewards. He wants you to run the race so that he can give you a reward. He's going to make an analogy. We're going to see it next week because we're going to run out of time. But in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, he makes this analogy and says, in a race, everybody runs, but only one gets the prize. Top guy gets the prize. He said, but in our race, all of us run and all of us what? Can get the prize. Because we're not racing against each other. See, that's the difference. And so one of these days, you're going to get the rewards. Jesus Christ wants you to get rewards. He loves you beyond what you can imagine. He's for you. He's on your side. Let me tell you, you know what he's going to do? He's taken you, and when you believed in him, he made you a new person. You were dead in trespass sins. Now he made you alive. He said, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit live inside you, and then I'm going to give you spiritual gifts. I've already given you talents and abilities. I'm putting all this in there. Guess what? I'm going to use you to serve me. Now, I'm going to be the power, and I'm going to give you the gifts. And so anytime you even serve me, it's really me through you. But guess what I'm going to do when you serve me and it's me through you? I'm going to give you rewards. And you go, so you're doing it and you're rewarding me. That's exactly right. That's called grace. The whole system's grace. You get rewards for serving God, and it's his power through you, and it's his spiritual gifts through you. So you can't ever brag and say, I got the gift of teaching, but I'm going to be really something. No, that's the grace of God. You got the gift and he's the one that used you. And so all the rewards, all the glory always goes to who? Listen, just remember this. All glory goes to Christ every time in everything. If God used you and you led this person to Christ and this person said, first time in my whole life I've understood this, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, this is great. You're hugging and everything. You don't get any. That's not your glory. It's the glory of Jesus who saved that person, and it's the glory of Jesus who used you to save that person. So there's never any glory for the person. Never. You don't need any glory. You don't need glory. God is the glorious, awesome one. We're just an instrument. Did that bell ring? It did. I thought it did. Okay. All right. Well, we'll stop right here. The charge. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. And if you want to, go ahead and study it ahead of time and look at that. And then also, if you want to, look at that toward the end, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Those two verses we're going to put together next week on the whole idea of getting rewards. So if you doubt that, if you'd say, well, it does seem a little selfish to me to serve God for rewards, if for some reason that might be in your brain, go ahead and look at these verses, because you're going to find that he's wanting to tell you, look, I want to reward you. I want to reward you. It's going to be based on what you're going to get to do with me forever. So it's powerful. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you as we study rewards. It's so fun to look at this. And Lord, we realize that you love us beyond what we could imagine, that we need to understand that salvation is a gift. It's not by works. It's not by righteousness, but simply by faith in Jesus Christ. And that there are rewards, that you promise us rewards, that we need to live in such a way that we bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, and that we need to have the understanding and the distinction between eternal life, salvation, and service and discipleship, and know that if you mix them up, there's a great confusion on salvation and assurance. So help us to know all this and put it together. Lord, thank you that one day it will be possible for all of us in this room to hear you say, well done. May we do it, Lord. May we live for you. May we decide today that we want our lives to count for you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.